President Bush got a boost in his own quest for job security this past week with the announcement that more than 300,000 people found new jobs in February. Democrats had to welcome the news, but were quick to point out lingering weaknesses in the economy, particularly in America's industrial base. Dollars and cents figured heavily in their own way in the presidential campaign this past week as well. Presumptive Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry set records for his party in fundraising, collecting more than $50 million in the first quarter of 2004. He was only topped by the all-time political fundraising champion, White House incumbent George W. Bush. Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief of the Los Angeles Times, a frequent guest on our show, and he joins us in the studio this morning. Welcome back, Doyle.
Good morning, Leanne.
John Kerry has been surprising in many ways this year, and his fundraising numbers are just another one of these surprises. What does it tell you?
Well, one thing it tells us is that the spirit of Howard Dean, that anger at George W. Bush, and the willingness to write checks to back it up is alive and well in the Democratic Party. Kerry's numbers were a surprise, $50 million in the first 3 months of the year. He's on track to raise more than $100 million. That's a staggering number for Democrats. When Dean's manager, Joe Trippi, first suggested that number 3 months ago, everybody thought he was dreaming or smoking something. Now it's in view. And the other interesting thing is about half that money for Kerry came over the Internet. So what this sets up is the possibility of a race where the Republicans, as usual, will have more money than the Democrats, but there won't be a dollar shortage on the Kerry side. He won't be outgunned.
We have to talk about that Republican money, President Bush's fundraising. He set a goal of $170 million for his campaign. He's already run past that figure with another 6 months to go before Election Day. So how is he going to spend all that cash?
It's going to be real easy. The poor citizens of swing states like Ohio and Florida and Wisconsin are going to be very, very tired of political advertising before this year is out. The good news for people who aren't in swing states, folks in New York and California, is they aren't going to see much of this stuff. It's gotten more strategic as it's gone on. But the fascinating thing about those Bush numbers is people in that Bush campaign are saying they may already be reaching the point of diminishing returns. There's a point at which new money isn't going to do you a whole lot of good. President Bush is already beginning to turn his use of fundraising time to raising money for congressional candidates and Senate candidates to help try and lock in the Republican majorities on Capitol Hill.
These 300,000 new jobs, President Bush was quick to point out that as an indication of the economy rebounding. But House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi noted the growth wasn't as strong in the manufacturing sector. So do those kinds of distinctions resonate with the voters?
I think they do, Leanne. They will over time. I talked a while ago to Tim Pawlenty, the Republican governor of Minnesota, who said it wasn't just unemployment, it was wages, it was job security, it was are these good jobs. That was the neurosis among voters that Republican governor was worried about. So economists are saying that a lot of these new jobs were low-wage jobs. The overall wage number went down a little bit. A lot of these are part-time jobs. So if that is the pattern all the way through for another several months, then, in fact, that is a distinction voters will probably pay attention to.
In this campaign, both John Kerry and the president would like to redefine the other in the public eye. How do you see the president and the senator matching up in that competition as this campaign keeps going on?
They're an interesting match for each other because they both seem to have a relish for the relentless combat of calling the other guy a skunk. For weeks now, we've heard George W. Bush characterizing John Kerry as a flip-flopper, as a liberal, as a high tax, as somebody who wants to add the gas tax. John Kerry went on vacation for a week and sort of disappeared from the camera, except for his skiing prowess. But he's coming right back and hitting Bush with gas taxes and Halliburton and manufacturing jobs. I mean, this is going to be hand-to-hand combat for many months. But the one thing that is going on there is that in some races, the Democratic candidate has appeared a little squeamish about stepping up and throwing the punches. Kerry doesn't seem squeamish at all.
What do you think the public's stomach is for all of this?
In the center of the electorate, no. The public doesn't like a relentless fight between two candidates tearing each other down. But again, all year long, we've seen that this campaign seems to be aimed first at what the professionals call energizing the base, at making sure that true blue conservatives write those checks and turn out for Bush, and that true blue liberals, or true red liberals, I've got my colors mixed up, turn out for John Kerry. So, at least at this phase, that's still the name of the game.
Finally, Doyle, the president's national security advisor, Condoleezza Rice, is going to appear before the 9/11 commission this week. Do you expect any surprises in her public sworn testimony that might be different from the various recent television appearances she's made?
In substance, no, because the administration's case has been quite consistent. Dick Clark, the former counterterrorism official, said they didn't move fast enough on al-Qaeda. The administration, including Condoleezza Rice, says that they did. But what we are going to see, I gather, is a cooler and calmer Condoleezza Rice. In some of those television appearances, it was very evident that she was personally upset and angry with Dick Clark. We're told she has spent some time this week on what you might call anger management.
Los Angeles Times Washington Bureau Chief Doyle McManus. Doyle, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Liam.